Take your seat. Put your hands together. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. So last week, we were looking at a few things about the 7 points we raised. And the point was that David's ethos. David had ethos and Saul had methods. How many of you recall that? Let me see. Do you recall that? David had, and Saul had. So Saul was using methods, but David had ethos. And I said, your ethos is a summary of your values, your attitudes, your character. The battle in the valley of Elah is a battle that uses character and doesn't use conventional and traditional methods. So traditional methodology alone will not work in the valley of Elah. And for us as believers to come home, some of the traditional methods include prayer, fasting. Now that is not to say that prayer and fasting is not good. And if there is nothing you know about your pastor, this is my life. I love prayer. At least there isn't a single week I am not on the fast. So I like them. But they are not alone. When you descend into the valley of Elah, conventional methodology alone cannot work. So Saul had method. He had a weapon. He has an armor. And he believed that the armory he had was enough to fight Goliath. But the question is, why was he not wearing the method or the weapon himself? So then you see, it is not the use of the weapon which is important, but the wearer of the weapon. Who wears the weapon? Who uses the weapon? Who engages the weapon? It is not about the weapon, because the weapon had been packed. The armory is packed somewhere, waiting for a wearer. So as soon as David appeared, he said, ah, the guy should wear this. So that the problem is not the weapon. The problem is the wearer of the weapon. Who should wear it? Who should wear the weapon? Lift up your right hand. Who should wear the weapon? That's where the issue is. The issue is not that Ghana doesn't have intellectuals, or Ghana doesn't have engineers, or Ghana doesn't have, you know, very good people. Let me tell you, every creative ability that God has, which he gave to man and any man on earth, we have some in Ghana. The problem is who is available and who has the right attitude and who can be engaged by God. That is a problem. But not that we don't have it. Oh, engineers, I'm telling you, if you look at some of the things that Ghanaians have designed around the world, you'll be surprised. And some of the very, very intelligent men that we have in this nation, you'll be amazed. But the problem is, what do we do? Look at me.
In the name of Jesus.
Tell somebody, it's not about the armor.
It is not about the armor.
But who wears the ammo?
But who wears the ammo?
Say it again.
It is not about the ammo, but who wears the ammo?
One more time.
It is not about the ammo, but who wears
and tell the person, it's not about prayer, but who prays.
It is not about prayer, but he who prays.
Tell the person, it's not about fasting, but who fasts.
It is not about fasting, but it's about he who fasts.
Listen carefully. The instrument of God is not found in material manifestations. For example, this is God's instrument. That is God's instrument. That is God's instrument. The instrument of God is found in the career of a good attitude. Last week I said that when a man carries a cleaned attitude, it can be a weaponry for God. Because you see, when you turn to Numbers 13, the story in Numbers 13 is a very interesting story. It is about Moses asking some spies to go and check up on the land. You know, my son, Jumo traveled. And when he came, he said, "Papa, I brought you fruit of the land." And we're laughing. See, "I travel and I brought you fruit." Now, so David, Moses said, "Go and spy the land. Then bring me fruit." When they return, the spies carried an attitude. These were the very people who saw the Red Sea open up. They are the very people who saw the Shekinah glory of God. And they may be the same people who saw 10 solid miracles displayed in Egypt. But when they returned, they told Moses, hey, Moses, no mistake. The land devours its own people. Now watch me. How can you declare yourself a victim of what you were declared a victor over? You declare yourself a victim over what you were declared a victor over. God says, "Take charge." You say, "I am dead." Because he says, "I'm taking you to a land flowing milk and honey." Exodus 3, a large land, a good land, flowing milk and honey. Then they returned and said, "The land devours its own people." Attitude. It was that bad that the Bible said they spread a bad report. So sometimes the power you have is not in your prayer. No. And I'm trying my very best to carefully delineate what I'm teaching this morning. The power is not in the prayer. The power is not in the fasting. The power is in the mindset you have. And a mindset drives a prayer. A mindset drives the fasting. A mindset drives your life. It's in the mindset. Paul says, "Therefore, be ye transformed by the changing of your tongues, by increasing your fasting." Is that what he says? You are not in church. Is that what he says? "Be ye therefore transformed by the changing of your dressing and by the way you arrange your voice to preach." Is that what he says? "Be ye transformed by the clothing you wear and the shoe you wear." If you are wearing a agomelik, change it. Is that what he says? "Be ye transformed by the way you cut your hair. And if you're a woman, by the way you dress. And then the pawns are with you chewing him." Is that what he says? You're not here. Is that what he says? "Be ye transformed by the watch you wear. And the socks you wear. And the shoe you wear. And the belt you put on. And the dress you wear." Is that what he says? No, 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 and no. But he says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Akuna zata tata tata. Come on, say, "The renewing of your mind." Now, give me Colossians chapter 1. Now, listen carefully to this. I'm going to show you something about this mindset before I come to what I'm talking about. Now, go to Colossians 1. We are reading. No, Colossians 3. Sorry. Colossians 3. Yamania stalavaroski emenish Shadarua kavia bandamos. Hey, mama nayata nanoyo. Colossians 3, listen carefully. Listen carefully, carefully. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts. Come on, say, set your heart. One more time, one more time. On all things below, things in the middle, things. So the Christian faith is an invitation for a stretch. Repeat after me. Say, the Christian faith is an invitation for a stretch. God is stretching you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Akadish Marahaya. He wants to stretch you. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your mind. Set your heart. First, your heart. And your heart represents your emotions and your spirit. Set it above. Come on, say above. Now, that word above gives you a place of location in terms of degree. We have above, and then we have intermediary, and then we have below. True or false? Now, Paul could use any of those, but he never mentioned, say, set your minds on things. So the question is, where is our heart settled? Where is our emotions? But not that alone. Go to the verse number 2. Paul continues. He says, set your minds. Come on, say, set your minds. It is an intention. An intention means you carefully do that. It's not accidental. Set your mind. Set your heart. And set your mind. Set your heart. And set your mind. And the setting of your mind is an attempt to transform the way you feel and the way you think. Why do you think that people don't love you? Why do you think that you are all the time late? Why do you think that you are not the best? Why do you think that you are not beautiful? Why do you think that you are ugly? Why do you think that I will not make it? Why do you think that I cannot break out in life? Why do you think that everybody will go ahead of me? Why do you think? Why do you have this mindset? It's a mindset. So David entered into Elah and saw a mindset. Saul's mind was set on conventional war. He knows that the only thing you do is wear an armory. And David said, no. That is not the way things are done. You believe that everything is by prayer. I believe it. But the Bible said, to your faith add. Come on, say, to my faith add. One more time. For the last time, I can't hear you. Oh, preach. I say, I can't hear you. And tell your friend, to your faith add. So the faith is the base. The faith is the foundation. The faith is the substructure. Now watch me. How many of you believe and know that the structure we are in, this structure, once upon a time was not plastered? Let me see. How many of you believe that once upon a time people were digging trenches here? Let's see. All right. How many of you believe that once upon a time iron rods were scattered here left and right with wood and bamboos? I want to see. How many of you believe that once upon a time there was no paint on the wall? Okay. How many of you believe that once upon a time there were no, what do you call it, floor tiles? This place was some way basa nyama nyama. Let me see. How many of you believe that once upon a time there were no actually burglar-proof windows? They were just open, and when you come here, mosquitoes have taken the place over. We had maybe lizards and then cockroaches. Let me see. Oh, you believe that? But what do you see now? What do you see now? What do you see now? Let's go to Titus 1. Look at something. Titus 1. Look at something. Let's go to, I want the NIV. Look at it. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to, read the word further, to, oh, come on, to, so Paul is writing to the church or to his son Titus, and he says, I'm writing to you to do what? Further what? The way you eat, the way you drink, the way you dress, the way you cut your hair. But to do what? So the faith, let me repeat what I said earlier. I said Christianity is an invitation for what? Let me see. For what? For a stretch. Come on, say an invitation for a stretch. That is why lazy people cannot be good Christians. I'm writing to you to further your faith. To further it. By the time you are 10 years old and the only means of studying the word of God is through devotion, you are not a serious believer. If devotion is the only means, Paul said, no, that was Peter. He said, as newborn babes desire the milk. But when the author of Hebrews, Adam 4, was talking, he says that, but solid meat belongs to those who are mature. So we have what we call milk. And then we have what we call what? Meat. Come on, say meat. To further the faith of God's elect. Now, further the faith in which area? He said, number one, in their knowledge. Because you see, the truth is not just some of the basic things that we are taught. You have to repent. You have to baptize in the Holy Ghost. They are all important. But speaking in tongues is not the end of the faith. Tell a friend, it's not the end of the faith. But it's an important foundation. So let's come back to, for example, the structure I was referring to. Now, if we kept on digging trenches, we kept on laying blocks, we kept on chittering iron rods, we kept on plastering, we kept on painting, the question is, when are we finishing the building? Are you here? Prof, will you not be angry? That is why sometimes the members are angry. Now we started the building 26 years ago and we haven't finished the building. Then they will say, yeah, bro, we are tired. If we kept on digging trenches and then coming, the prof will say, are you? You see, after Guanti, Monshe, I said, prof, when are we finishing this? Let me tell you something. It's a mystery in the faith. There is always a beginning in the faith. Then there is a growth in the faith. And then there is a completion in the faith. You cannot stay at the beginning and think that that is all. No. You must grow. And as you grow, you must get to the end. And I decree in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that we cannot stay at the foundation. When are you finishing the building? When are you finishing it? And David got to the Valley of Elah. And Pastor Saul had been in the valley 40 days. The battle is not over. Because the man believes in conventional methods. That is all he's believing in. Some of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And now you are even changing the prayer because you believe that. The Bible says pray all kinds of prayer. So let me add all kinds of prayer. But what you have failed to do is that you have not challenged yourself. And David is about to challenge Saul. He's about to tell Saul that you don't fight alone with weapons. You also fight with the faith you have in God. You don't fight with weapons. You also fight with the skills you have. As I told you last week, for many of us, all that we know is that we just pray and prepare ourselves for interview. You don't read anything about the organization. You don't learn how to talk. You don't learn how to engage others. You don't read anything. All you're believing is that when you get there, God will do it. That time is over. Tell a friend, that time is over. Tell him, tell her, it's over. Say, it is over. So let's go to 1 Samuel. Last week, I mentioned a few things. I'm just reminding you of them, and then I add. So I told you that David can transfer his faith. Come on, so David can transfer his faith. So he takes the faith from the church and goes to where he works. And that is found in 1 Samuel 17, 32 to... Yeah, 1 Samuel 17. David says, let no one lose, yes, from verse 32. Let no one lose, up to 37. Let no one lose. He was talking about the fact that God helped him kill lions and bear, and he can transfer that. Number two. So that's the first way we saw the ethos, the attitude of David. That is an attitude that knows how to transfer. Number two. I'm adding on. David knew his skill. Come on, say, David knew his skill. Verse 39 says, David said, I cannot go with these. Say, I cannot go with these. I have not tested them. Say, I have not tested them. So he put them off. What is your skill? What are you giving? I am not Probawili. He is not me. I am me. He is him. There is something that God has given to every one of us seated here. Don't copy blindly. Tell a friend, don't copy blindly. One more time. You know, in Ghana, there was a time. Ghanaians are very good in copying businesses. Prof can tell me. Prof, I lie. Am I lying or I'm telling the truth? Prof is a business tycoon. Prof, true or false? When they see that everybody's building a shop, when they see that everybody is selling on a, what do you call it? Trolley. Everybody will go for it. Keke and what else? Keke and what? And Pragya came. Hey, the next day, Keke all over. In fact, the nations were copy and paste. Is a course is in this nation. It's the same challenge in Nigeria as well. When you start something, everybody jump. Sing what? Sing that song. As if you are on my mind, because I was coming there yesterday. My wife and I were talking about it. It's so annoying that I read an article somebody has written to. What's their name? Guinness Book of Record. To tell them that this so-called record breaking is very annoying. They should stop it. Yeah. Everybody now sing at on, dance at on, stand at on. What else? Cook at on. What else? Huh? Gossip on. Huh? Stand at on. I can tell you, some stupid ones will come very soon. Bath at on is coming. Now, is this a record? Hebrews 11. He says, the fathers. When you read about the fathers, the things they did, Some of them even refused to be saved. They were not afraid of death. Stupid records are being set. Go to the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 and see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yesterday we were at Apostle Tumi's barrier. And when you read about the man, and you see or you heard about the testimonies, you know this is a true man of God. All kinds of nonsense. Driver turn will come. Traffic turn will come. All kinds of nonsense. We have a world where records don't mean anything. Anything stupid is a record. But in the scriptures, the scriptures will not record that which is not virtuous. The scriptures record virtues. Come on, say virtues. I want somebody to say he's breaking the record for corruption. That he has been tempted 1,000 times for pride and he has not taken it. That is what we need. We need to do that. So all kinds of things and records are being set. All records. All records. But David knew his skill. What is your skill? What is your skill? What has God given you? What has he placed in you? Every one of us sitting here has a gift. Paul said that we all have a gift according to the measure of faith. So what is your gift? Don't copy anyone. Don't compete with anyone. The Bible says they that compete themselves with others, they are not wise. So David knew his skill. He said, I haven't used this. Somebody is telling you some things. He's trying to just convince you. If you haven't used some things, don't rush into it. Tell a friend, if you haven't used some things, don't rush into it. So David knew his skill. And I can tell you, in this year and the years to come, it is only those who know what they are made of. They can stand up for what is required of them. It is what you know you are made of. What is the stuff you are made of? What has God given you? I have my skill. And I will not let anybody put me down because his is superior than mine. Now listen carefully. In the faith, the master who rewards is not us. The right judge over every gift we have is the man. He's Jesus. He's a right judge. So I can stand here and preach. And here there is a member seated there. The assignment given to you is at the same level or more than I'm doing here. Let me tell you, it is a master. It is a master. He is a righteous judge. He's a righteous judge. Number three, we can see the ethos, the attitude of David in the identity he had. Come on, say the identity he had. I can't hear you. Which identity is that? Which identity is that? Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand. Asafo, when we talk about staff, you know that soldiers don't go to war with a staff. True of us. They don't go to war with a staff. Soldiers don't go to war with stones. Even Goliath himself saw that David was holding a stick. David knew that he was a shepherd boy. That is his identity. He doesn't fight battles with javelin and with spear. No. He knew his identity. As a shepherd boy, he was not accustomed to the weight and the constriction of a warrior's armor. A warrior's armor, the Bible said that when he put the, what do you call that? The sword in the scabbard, he could not even move. And if you can't move with a sword, how can you even brandish it? Even walking with a sword, he couldn't walk. How can he pull the thing out and start brandishing it. He cannot. Who are you? Listen to what I said here. I said the believer's identity is manifested in his divine proficiency and not his physical size. Your identity is manifested in the divine proficiency. What has God given you? What are you skilled in? What is your identity? If you have forgotten about who you are, let me just remind you. Sometimes we forget about who we are. Can I remind you? Can I remind you? Oh, can I remind you? That yes, I can only hear Pisani and his voice. Can I remind you? In Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. It means that nothing can be sweeter without your presence. In Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. It means that wherever there is darkness, when you appear there, light must appear. In John 1:5, you are the branches of the true vine. And as a branch of the true vine, you bear fruit. In Psalm 100:3, you are the sheep of his pasture. You are the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100:3. And what does it mean? It means that your guidance and your care and your protection is in the hands of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are ambassadors of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. That means that you represent Christ in any place you find yourself. In 1 Peter 2:5, you are a living stone. Come on, say a living stone. There is a dead stone, but you are not a dead stone. You are a living stone. And what does it mean? It means that you are a spiritual temple. Christ dwells in you. Anywhere you are walking, you are carrying Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2:3, you are a soldier of the cross. Come on, say a soldier of the cross. One more time. And what does it mean? It means that you are called to do spiritual warfare. Saul is doing physical warfare, but he did not know that he needed to have the spiritual dimension. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, you are athletes. You are sportsmen and women. You are athletes. Your life is likened to an athlete. And what is one thing about an athlete? An athlete works under discipline in their pursuit of rewards. Now watch me. Let me show you the difference between motivation and discipline. As I am preaching now, you will be motivated when you say, "Aye, hallelujah, my God, what a way. Oh, praise God." That motivation is the spike of euphoria and strength and enthusiasm that gushes through you because a revelation came out of the word. That's motivation. Motivation can be event specific, but motivation often doesn't have power to last. So by the time you are leaving this particular church, your motivation is going down. It shot up, maybe plateau for a while, and then. Now what is discipline? Discipline is contrary to motivation. In discipline, when there is a spike, you sustain the spike. So the spike doesn't come down. It's been one day and you are still there. It's been 2 days and you are still there. It's been 3 days and you are still there. It's been a week, you are still there. It's been a month, you are still there. You appear to come down quickly, you go up. Discipline is the consistency that you apply to walk with the Lord. It is that particular energy that keeps you in shape so that you don't just fall back and try to crawl up. I decree in the name of Jesus that you will have some discipline right now. Come on, say, Lord, help me to be disciplined.
Lord, help me with discipline.
One more time, say, help me to be disciplined.
Help me to be disciplined.
So David knew his identity. Where is your identity? You are a soldier. You are an athlete. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are fellow workers with God. Can you imagine these things? You are working with God. So God can use you as a tool. Prof, is it yours? We are workers, co-workers. Come on, say co-workers. Co-workers. We are working with the Lord. Do you know what that means? We are co-workers. So sometimes when I get up and somebody brings me a trouble, I'm proud that I am going to fix the trouble. I'm going to fix it. Can you get to your workplace and there's a problem and you tell them that, everybody relax. I want the believer to do, everybody relax. And tell them, why do you worry? I am here. Are you clapping for the Lord or you are afraid? Don't be afraid. Tell them that I am here. Now they will look at you and say, ah, by you. But don't be surprised at all, because even Jesus, they said he's the son of the carpenter. So don't be surprised. But tell them, are they here? But you see, your problem is that if you start misrepresenting Christ, then your courage is destroyed. Because when you say, I am here, they say, we don't want you here. You are the worst thing that ever happened to us. But when you tell them, if you are representing Jesus, and you tell them that I am here, consider this problem solved. That is the confidence we have. That David stepped into the valley and then he looked at the king and said, I am here. And that is the next thing we see in his ethos. David, number 4, sees himself as an answer to a problem. He sees himself as an answer to a problem. The solution we are looking for in the valley of Elah was coming through the hands of somebody's son. Somebody's child is about to solve a problem. You didn't hear what I said?
Lord.
That is actually a prophecy. Somebody's child is about to solve a problem. I see a father who has sent a son. I see a father and a mother who have unleashed their child. In a valley where we are looking for answers.
My God.
What do I see and what do I hear? I hear. And if you have been living God for the fruit of the womb, man, this morning be a miraculous morning. Now the interesting thing is that in the valley of Elah, we have a generational clash. Next week, I'll teach you more about the generational clash. But let me give you a wink. A young man is retiring the father's skill and telling the father, there's a new way. That is why if you don't come to youth ministry this time around, you are going to be an old boy.
Shout it out.
You, are you here?
Hear me no
Can I hear? Can I hear? Can I hear?
Feel like don't come.
Look at your age. Some of you are young people. You will never come to youth.
Mercy. Mercy.
Stay there.
Stay there.
You stay there.
Stay there.
In the next 10 years, you will see the parliamentarians and the kings. You will see the businessmen. It didn't happen by accident.
Yes.
They carefully chose their path.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Huh?
Aye.
That is why this day when I go out to preach and people take my handkerchief, I take it back. In the past, when they take it, like this time, when you take it, I'll chase you and take it back.
Mercy.
Osafo, this oil we carry is about 35 years ago.
Aye.
When you apply yourself to principles, you will grow. It is not a magical impartation. Did I hear amen on that? If you take my handkerchief, I'll chase after you. You won't come to youth. You will not come. But when it is UEFA. Today the Blues are playing. The Reds. Today is this. You know all the names of every player who was transferred from Man United to City to Bayern Munich.
Forgive.
You know all of their names.
Forgive.
When I ask you one Bible text, I say open to Goliath chapter 2 verse 4. You will open to Goliath chapter 2
go
verse
there.
4.
Go there, sir. Go there, sir. Goliath chapter 2, sir. Yes. Goliath chapter 2.
Hey! Are you in church?
I am here, sir.
Youth, are we in
church? I am 2 minutes. It's working fully. It's working. It's working in this church.
On Friday, I passed by the women's ministry. When I came, look at our young ladies who are here. Now, if you're a woman, look at yourself. You look at yourself. Our young ladies, look at yourself. You will never come to women's ministry. You will never.
Forgive.
But if we say that we are doing cookathon.
Cookathon.
Nantiathon.
Sitathon. Makeupathon.
You will see you are all over social media. You are commenting. You are commenting. When we are doing service and you are home, you will not even comment.
Let's see.
But you go after somebody. Then you tap. Hi, nice. You will not comment. The reason is simple. You don't see yourself as a career or solution. You see, I have learned something in life. Anytime people don't see themselves as a bunch of virtue in any space of meaning, they don't know who they are. You see, when you know what you carry and the space you meddle in, you always want to be in those spaces. The answer is simple. Because you are made up of a solution. And you don't want to carry that thing. If you know that you carry something, you will come to youth meeting.
You will come to youth.
You will come to, what do you call it? Evangelism.
Yes.
You will come to women. You will come.
Yes.
Because you know you carry something. Also, somebody released the son. He told the son, go. Those of you parents too, who don't want to release your sons and daughters.
Forgive.
You don't want to release them. Today we say intergenerational service. Some of you have left your children in the house.
Mercy.
You left them. Mercy. So if your child grows one day and he's stuck to the screen and he has become something, then you want to bring him to me. I don't fix people. Let me tell you something. Whatever we are doing as parents, we will harvest it. I'm telling you. If you think that your child doesn't deserve to be with you in church, your child will deserve to be with somebody at a discotheque. That's a fact. Somebody release his son. Go. If you won't release your child to come to church, they say today is intergenerational service. Where is your child? I want us to make a prayer. Where is your child? Some of you, I know your children are in school. Some are not here, they are outside the country. But there are some of you who are here. You know that I'm talking to you. You decided not to come to church with your child. Ovie. I'm going to hit TV. I don't know whether you have heard the recent statistics about screen time and the child's mental health. You are killing a child. Then 4 a.m. paying for are studying. They are shaping their attitudes. They are going to be tomorrow's leaders. And your children will become the followers who are stubborn. Listen. We have to choose. Tell a friend, we have to choose.
We have to choose.
David saw himself as a solution. And I'd like you to pray over your child right now. Some of you are not married. Your child is lying here. Whether you're a man or a woman. Oh, some boy, you're through so 3 times. I say, my child is there. Put your hand on your belly. You're going to pray. You're going to pray. Because the time will come when you will marry. And your children will come out. So we are praying over our children. That whatever the Lord has for them. In any valley, yes. In any space,
yes, Lord.
Anywhere they are standing,
yes, Lord.
When they are unleashed,
yes, Lord.
May the Lord bring solution to them,
yes, Lord.
Open your mouth and begin to pray. Open your mouth.
La barada da
open your mouth. Begin to pray.
Ikon de briga vazandi galuaska
pela. If your child is not here, pray for your child.
Megon di brandus kompalia na hai. Rene meluasi fandia doza la ataya. Rengan di brasaya bragombele levede. Lima na balaba shalabraske felebreska balaba. Arraba banta na babla shababranda balabalaba. Lego da brianta na babla sugololo boze. Rene ne mebleski felele badai. Marraba brasha mablaski fai. Hola limana, hola limana, vie. Weli antula la mana la mia toyo. Hola brasi na brasi, brasi brasi brasi. Rene na brasi, vie antula lusale. Weli la lia pana na nuansa la lia tolo. Wela na ratuye, vie tu ya panwa diolo, yalo yalo. Wele kololo yolo si amai umini atu apia na nuantolo lolo olo tayai adianta nana mabra sua lo uimoli atuli rua sua lolo yele lo suini atu amanania yele yolo kolo yele yolo kolo yalule le sua mia
ayanda la marosa mehe Maria na lo mare patoya na libe andala bale kadoria madeya saya bo lo lo bo bo Yeshua, Yeshua,
Jesus, Magia, Lion of Judah, Agude Chema,
listen,
yes.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
We're taking the last prayer.
Yes, sir.
Listen carefully. The Bible said, and the man, Jesse, said to the son, come.
Come.
Take this and go.
Yes, sir.
I want you to pray that the Lord will unleash your child. You see, our children can be points of conversational contact. What we cannot tell other people's children, our children can speak to them. Now, I want anybody whose child didn't come today, please come forward. There are some children here. I don't want any child unengaged. Yes, if you're a parent, come. Allah. There are some children here. Stand by them. Where your parents are, brother. I want every child attended. So go and stand by the children there. We are parents. If you are a parent, come and stand by some children there. Stand by one. Stand by. Make sure every child. Every child cannot stand alone. No. Akrebia obinjan hubia obinjan ho. And please look at me. Yeah. Stand back. Listen carefully. Please, what we are doing is so prophetic. Next week when I'm continuing, I'm not going to finish what I have today. I just feel led to do this. Because sometimes we feel as adults we are in charge. I'm not very old, but I forget some things. And my boy is laughing at me. Daddy, you saw you forgot it. One day I had my spectacle here. And I said, Nana, go and bring my spectacle. He said, Daddy, your spectacle is here. I said, You think I'm growing younger? No. The other time I was holding it in my hands. I said, I was holding a thing. You will be amazed when your child is growing and you haven't trained that child. You have not imparted anything. Sometimes, let your children come to you and hug them. Stroke their hair. Speak a word over them. Tell them that, look, you will be great. Yes. Speak word over them. I mean, I've been telling my son, I say, when they grow, I'll come and enjoy. Because I'm looking forward that they'll be great. Mess me by me, no more fee. And they know. They know that they will pay. And they will pay in grand style. The boy is laughing, he knows. Yes. They will pay. Kobe is there. I said, when I come to your home. But what that means is that I must invest in them. And the investment is not just paying of school fees. But also talking to them.
That's right.
Praying over them. Engaging them. Talking to them. Talking to them. The world of our children and the years ahead is scary. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the pains that we will have as parents will be to have a generation that was unschooled in the school of virtue. Not that they didn't go to school, but when it talks about moral conduct, ethics, and behavior, they were not schooled. So they behave anyhow. May the Lord take the grace upon your head,
Jesus,
and put it on your child. May the Lord unleash the next leaders. No, that amen doesn't get anywhere. May the Lord unleash the next leaders.
Amen.
May there be careers of knowledge.
Amen.
May there be careers of virtues.
Amen.
May there be careers of moral conduct.
Amen.
May there be careers of clean ethos.
Amen.
May there bring life to dead spaces. May that bring life to places where corruption is high. May that bring victory to places where victims are made. I decree by the mandate of power that your child will be an agent of transformation. Shout amen 7 times.
Amen.
Number 2. Amen. Number 3. Amen. Number 4, amen. Number 5, amen. Number 6, amen. Number 7, amen. Slap your hands and put your hands together.